Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop on this Food Friday, December 13th. I'm Ray Graff. For many of us, the winter holiday season means tins of cookies, pies, chocolates, much more. And that is precisely the case for our guest today. Here with her holiday baking recipes and tips is Food Friday favorite, Deanna Fox. If you have a question about pie crust, cookies, or other holiday sweets, and she brought quite a few, give us a call, 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551, or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. But again, the number is 800-348-2551. Deanna Fox, it's cookies and pies and holiday baking coming up after the news. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Today we welcome back Food Friday favorite Deanna Fox. She is here with her holiday baking tips and recipes. She does this every year around this time. Deanna is a food and agriculture journalist based in the Capital Region. Her work appears locally in the Times Union and the Daily Gazette, as well as in national publications like USA Today, the Washington Post, Eater, as well as the Kitchen and Beer Advocate. Deanna also owns Albany Cooking School, and her work and classes can be found at foxonfood.com. If you have a question about holiday pies, cookies, or other sweets, we got an expert here. Give us a call, 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. You can also email us at voxpop@wamc.org, voxpop@wamc.org. But again, the number is 800-348-2551. And just a note, I am minding the email box today. So I'll do the best I can, but we'll probably be able to get your emails in as well. Deanna Fox, how are you? And happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you, sir. I'm good. How are you?
Well, you brought some great stuff.
Thank you.
Before we get to that, though, what's new?
What's new is that the cooking school is moving. So we're going to be leaving Stuyvesant Plaza at the end of the month, and we are still going to be located in Albany.
Yeah.
So
where are you going?
Will be nearby. I can't tell you. It's a big surprise.
Oh, an undisclosed location.
Yeah. Well, if you go on to Facebook,
yeah,
and you go into the Albany Cooking School Facebook page, you can sign up for the email list. And very, very, very soon we'll be having a big announcement.
I got to say, you're playing this pretty cagey.
Cagey, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's good for you, though. So it'll be a new space and mm-hmm. bigger, more room and such?
Yeah, bigger. For sure. Laid out differently, so it's a little easier to accommodate bigger groups and more hands-on classes. But there will be a retail section as well. But the thing that's really great is our new website, which is allowing us to do great online cooking classes. So we just started filming our first round of online classes that
really?
People can take. Yep. We have a really cool magazine, essentially, that's coming out that's associated with the cooking school, but it's also a one-click, it's a clickable online catalog incorporated in with the magazine. So if you find a recipe or an item that you like, you can click right on it, click on the image. It'll direct you to the shopping section of the website, and you just add it right into your cart.
Tell you what, you said you were busy. When you walked in this afternoon, I said, how you doing, busy?
Yeah.
I guess you're really busy.
Yeah, but we have all sorts of really cool things happening in there. And a lot of the great instructors that people have come to know and love that have worked with us for the past several years, Rick Orlando and Kizzy Williams and Franco Rua and Melanie O'Malley and Julie Paul, they're all coming along for the ride. So
that's pretty great.
It's pretty great. We're really excited.
Now, you've been doing the cooking school for a couple of years now, right?
Yeah, so I've been teaching for almost 10 years, and then Albany Cooking School started about 2 years ago, and we were subletting a space in Stuyvesant Plaza, and it's just time to grow and evolve and move on, and we're very excited.
So you enjoy that. You enjoy the cooking school. Yeah, the whole idea of it, right? It's a lot of work, though.
It's work, but it's work that we love, and yeah. It kind of fits into the whole ethos of, you know, why I've always written about food and why I enjoy food so much, and it's just a way to bring people together and share love and help people stay nourished and take care of themselves. And everybody who works at the school kind of feels the same way, that cooking and learning how to cook is a very simple virtue. It's not hard to just make something even just a little bit nourishing for yourself or someone you love.
So it's kind of difficult
as
for me.
As evident through these cookies
okay,
that I brought
you
today.
Brought, every year you come around this time and you bring delicious holiday treats, mm-hmm. and you brought some Christmas tree cookies. What else did you bring?
So I really only brought two things, but one of these recipes is really fun and adaptable. So the first thing I brought is a little chocolate biscotti, which I love.
Yeah.
And it's got chocolate chips in it and almonds and almond extracts. So they're dunkers. My grandmother, my Gigi, always would make cookies and leave some that would get stale because she liked to have dunkers for
Agreed.
Her coffee. So I,
but,
yes.
100%. But, you know, these are very, they're perfect in many ways in that, they're dunkers,
mm-hmm.
but they don't break your jaw when you eat them. So
yeah.
it's a fine line with biscotti.
And also that they don't, as soon as they hit your coffee, they don't just turn to mush and crumble.
Dissolve, yeah.
Which is the worst part. You get like this like cookie sludge in the bottom of your coffee
Which
cup.
Is all right. I mean, you get used to that.
Yeah, I mean, sure. If you like spoonable coffee.
I do. Deanna Fox is our guest today. It's holiday baking on a program that is always a fun one for us to do. 800-348-2551 is the number. A couple of emails. You're very popular. Here comes the first email that came in quite some time ago. And this is from corporate cookie competitor in Del Mar.
Ooh.
How can I win my company's holiday cookie competition? Every year, my place of employment has a cookie competition. Last year, I spent hours making dozens of Linzer cookies. I didn't even place near the top three. Of course, they could have just been bad cookies, but I feel like every year at the cookies that they always win are boring. They just throw in more and more butter, sugar, chocolate, peanut butter. No, there's nothing wrong with that, but I want my cookies to be just a little more interesting. How can I make an interesting yet satisfying holiday cookie that will blow away the competition? And that's from corporate cookie competitor in Del Mar.
Okay, so I fall into this dilemma every year because my kid's school does this fundraiser for the chorus program, the band program, and it's supposed to be not competitive, and it's supposed to be just a way to raise money for the kids and the music program, and we make these trays of cookies that get sold at the concert.
Yeah.
But, my
you
God.
Win, you win every year.
No, I don't. Courtney Mulhern, I'm coming for you.
Uh-oh.
You win every year.
Well, we'll
Everyone
have her
talks
on the show.
About your cookies, so
right.
Someday I'll win, so I understand this perfectly. But the thing that always wins is not even the cookie that tastes good. It's the cookie that looks good. It's
yeah.
an eyes before stomach kind of thing. So I brought in some sugar cookies today, and the recipe's up on the WAMC
it
website.
It sure is.
Which is great. But some of these cookies, the cookie itself is really, really tasty and super delicious.
It's a sugar cookie.
It's a plain old sugar cookie.
And it's
cookie.
Fantastic.
And the trick is not to roll it out too thin. People roll them out too thin. So these are what, like a quarter inch?
I don't know. We had a picture of it, and you can sort of see that it's not that thick.
Yeah, but they do spread a little bit, but don't go too thin. They're not going to really puff up. If they go too thin, you're going to have like a sugary cracker.
Right, which is all right too, but not as good as this.
Not as good as this. So I just made a really simple royal icing, which that recipe is also on the WAMC website.
Yep.
And I dyed it green, and then I just put it in a zip-top bag, and I cut a little snip off the corner and just used that like a piping bag and just kind of traced and filled it in. It's not hard. But then I took some green gel icing, and I dipped a little toothpick in it, and I just drew lines across horizontally, maybe every half inch across the cookie, and then I took a clean toothpick, and I made like almost like a tie-dyed herringbone kind of effect here and went up the length of the cookie and then back down. And it made like this swirl pattern.
It's a surreal vision of a Christmas tree. It really is, an evergreen.
And it tastes good and it looks good. And it's really, really easy to make. And you can bang them out really fast.
Now, of course, most people at Del Mar Cookie Competitors Company are probably making sugar cookies. So really, looks count in this case.
Looks count. And, you know, I think you can't really go wrong with a rum ball.
Yeah.
A good old molasses cookie is always classic. If you put a little just plain sugar on the top of the cookie before you bake it, it gives it that like glistening snow effect, which is really nice. But I think that people are really going for a sugar cookie, really pretty sugar cookie.
Of course, there's another way. You just pay off the judges before the show.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
This one came in from Paul. Paul says, how do I keep my cookies fresh? Seems like they get hard and stale just days after making them.
A piece of white bread in your cookie jar.
Oh, cut it out.
I'm serious.
What does that do?
It soaks up, all the cookies will soak up the moisture from the bread, and then the bread gets really hard. So.
Really?
Your mother never did this?
It was a long time ago. Let's go to the phones. 800-348-2551. Carol in Albany. Carol, you're on.
Hi. I am currently in the kitchen trying to figure out how to find a good recipe for dairy-free, not vegan, but dairy-free Christmas cookies that can be rolled and then cut out into shapes and decorated.
Do you mean
what
like...
I'm finding? Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
No, a sugar cookie or any kind of dairy-free cookie.
Yeah, I think so. Sugar, your basic, you know, what you think of as your basic decorated Christmas cookie.
Sure.
And what I'm finding online is they talk a lot about how the dough is pretty crumbly and hard to roll.
Without the dairy.
Hard to roll.
Yeah. So yeah. You can actually, the recipe that's on the WAMC website, that's my recipe that I always use, you can adapt. So you substitute, it calls for 1 cup of milk with some baking soda dissolved in it. And you can use a non-dairy milk. So you could use...
almond milk or something?
Yeah. You could use a soy milk, something like that. Rice milk, oat milk. I probably would go with oat milk.
What does oat milk taste like? I've seen it now.
Tastes like chalky water, but whatever.
Okay. You made it sound... You really sold it. Good for you.
But you want to add a little bit of vinegar to it. So the vinegar is going to help bring the acid level to meet what you need for the baking process. So if you have that cup of like oat milk or whatever you're using, just add a little splash, like maybe a teaspoon of just white vinegar or apple cider vinegar. And that should be fine.
Apple cider vinegar.
Yeah, that recipe does have egg in it. So you need to be careful with that.
That's fine.
Okay, but if you just need dairy-free,
it's
then you can...
It's just dairy, that's the problem.
Yep, you can substitute it out. And then on the website, some of the cookies that I brought in today are buttercream frosted. And you can substitute out the butter for vegetable shortening if you want, and it's good. Or you can just use the royal icing, which has no dairy.
Why do they call it royal icing? I meant to ask you that.
No idea, because it's so fancy.
Well, it does seem pretty fancy. Carol, we got to take a break here, but thank you very much. We're here with the head honcho of the Albany Cooking School, and you know her as Deanna Fox. Fox on Food is the website. We'll be right back. Vox Pop, it's Food Friday, Holiday Baking today with Deanna Fox, 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551 is the telephone number. And let's go right back to the phones. Laura in New Paltz. Laura.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I just have a question about when you're baking cookies or other desserts, how to distinguish between the liquid ingredients and the dry ingredients. For example, most recipes have white sugar in them, which is a powder, which is a dry ingredient. And I don't use sugar, and all the sugar substitutes I use, which is maple syrup, raw honey, or date syrup, or rice syrup, are all liquids. And I was wondering how I can take out the powdered sugar and put in a liquid ingredient instead without messing up the recipe.
So part of the problem is when you use a white granulated sugar or brown sugar or any kind of granulated sugar like that, what happens is that a lot of recipes will tell you to cream your sugar and your fat together. So whether that's shortening or it's butter, and it does what's called mechanical leavening. So it acts like baking soda and baking powder are called chemical leaveners. And then creaming together your fat and your sugars together is called mechanical leavening because it beats a lot of air into the batter or the cookie, the dough, whatever. And then you slowly add in your eggs and maybe your extracts, whatever you're using, and then your dry ingredients. But if you are using a cookie recipe or a batter recipe and you're removing the granulated sugar or the brown sugar, anything that's kind of a firm substance, and replacing it with maple syrup or a liquid sweetener, you're not able to create creaming. So really it doesn't become an alchemy kind of thing. It's not really going to affect the flavor of your... It'll still be sweet. It'll still taste good. If it's maple or if it's, you know, honey, it'll have the characteristics of those sweeteners. But the texture might be different. So you might not get as puffy of a cookie, or you might not get as flaky of a biscuit or something like that. So you can, if you don't want to use just granulated white sugar, you could use like a coconut sugar or something like that, which is a less refined product, closer to its original form. And then you would cream it and do that kind of thing. But that's really the only concern that you need to worry about. It's just a texture thing.
So the consistency would be different. So would I need to bake it shorter or longer to make the consistency better or fix it or something like that?
So what is it that you're trying to bake? Because that depends. Is it just a
just cookies without... I have so many recipes. I'm always taking the sugar out and adding a liquid sweetener, and then the consistency is always different.
Yeah, I think it might... I'm not sure, but I would guess a little bit longer. And cookies, I mean, when you're talking about cookies, because they're so little, you're talking like a minute longer, maybe two right. minutes longer. It's not like a 10-minute situation.
Okay.
But you need to remember, too, that when things come out of the oven, that doesn't mean that they just turn off the baking process. They're still hot, and they're
right.
still baking, and there's still a long time for, like, you know, thermal reactions with everything. So... always take your cookies out when they look just a tiny, tiny bit underdone, because they're going to get perfect. After like 5 or 10 minutes sitting out on the counter, they'll be perfect.
That's Laura, thank you for the call. That is amazing. And that is something that only dawned on me recently when we were in the kitchen making cookies.
Yeah.
They come out soft
yeah.
and they still cook a while.
They do.
And if you wait until they're nice and firm in the yeah. oven, then you're in trouble.
Absolutely.
The number here is 800-348-2551. Deanna Fox is here from the Albany Cooking School at foxonfood.com. And now we go to Vera in Glens Falls. Vera.
Yes, I have a recipe that calls for glutinous rice flour.
Mm-hmm.
And the only rice flour I can find is gluten-free. Is that going to make a difference?
Yeah. So you can find the rice flour that you're looking for at an Asian market. So if you ever come down to Albany, there's a bunch of great ones down here. I'm not sure of any further up near you, but it's definitely something you can find at an Asian market. Otherwise, I think that your best bet for that, because it's such a niche product, is probably going to be online.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks a lot. 800-348-2551 is our telephone number. It's Holiday Baking Today with Deanna Fox. On a Food Friday, we go to Ron in Esopus. Ron.
Yeah. Hey.
Hey.
Hi.
Thanks for the show. When I was in college, I worked in a diner at night.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a diner trick to keep pastries and cookies fresh overnight or all day or whatever. When we closed at night, we used to put a big glass of seltzer on the dish that had all the pastries or cookies on it, and then cover it with a cake cover.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the carbon dioxide coming out of the seltzer kept everything from getting stale.
That's really
so
interesting.
So there's a diner trick.
You never tried that?
No. I mean, I guess it makes sense when you think about it, but that's not something I would ever think to try. But it does make really good sense.
It works.
Yeah, for sure.
Diner.
Thanks.
All right. Thanks a lot, Ron. We appreciate the call. 800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Presumably you made this stuff for this program. What are you making for the kids and people who show up at the house?
I definitely always make sugar cookies. And I do make biscotti because that's one of my favorites. But we're big gingerbread people.
Really?
Yeah, I make excellent gingerbread, if I do say so. And it's vegan.
Really?
So
I did not know that.
Just by the recipe. It's an old recipe. But it just happens to be vegan. It doesn't have any product in there that is involved with any animal byproducts whatsoever.
Now, so. Is that different from ginger snaps?
Yes. Ginger snaps are a little bit more of a cakier dough, whereas gingerbread for houses or cookies or that kind of thing is almost more of like a pliable, like a Play-Doh almost. It's very, you can manipulate it very easily. Ginger snaps are usually a butter product. Gingerbread is usually like a shortening product.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Deanna Fox is our guest. 800-348-2551 is the telephone number. What pies are you doing this holiday?
I don't really make pies at Christmas.
It's really?
Not, yeah.
What the blue blazes?
I know. We don't really do anything that would involve pie. We do make, my mother and I on Christmas Eve make cinnamon rolls. And we prep them all
in
the
for
fridge,
the morning?
And then the first person up presses the button on the coffee machine and puts the cinnamon rolls in the oven.
That sounds good.
Yeah. But I don't think we really do pies at Christmas.
Only Thanksgiving, huh?
Any other time of year. Month of December.
Well, that is just weird.
Pie free.
Right? Because you're supposed to have a pie, aren't you?
Well, you can have a cake once in a while, can't you? You make a Yule log, a little bûche de Noël.
We don't, but that's a good idea. We'll put that on the list. Tom in Albany. Tom, you're on.
Yeah, hi. My son just became allergic to wheat. And I was wondering if there are any good wheat-free breads or a wheat-free flour that I can use to make breads and pie pastries with.
As far as any particular brands, I don't really know of what's best for that, but there are some really, really great local bakers that do gluten-free breads. There is, at the Troy Farmers Market, there's a lot of bakers there who do gluten-free products, but as far as bread, the problem with bread is that you need high gluten content to make, like, really chewy, delicious bread. That's why, like, peasant loaves and sourdough and all that stuff is so delicious and chewy.
He's not allergic to gluten, but he's allergic to wheat. Is that the same thing?
It's not the same thing.
Could you make oat bread?
You could.
He's
you have
to
be. Yeah. So usually wheat and gluten aren't synonymous, but because lots of things can have gluten in them. But there is a lot of gluten in wheat, which has becomes a problem. But you can experiment with other things. You could use other flours. You could just you really have to try what's best for you, because they do create a lot of different textures in your mouth. The bread has a higher rise or a lower rise depending on what you use. But you usually have to add some additives to it. So xanthan gum is something that people add, which I think is like a we were just talking about it in class last night. It's like a fermented sugar, which helps to bind things and keep them together. You might need to add some eggs to your bread recipe, which a lot of bread recipes don't include, but eggs have lecithin in it, which is also a binding agent. So there's a lot of really great recipes online that you can find something, but it really just comes down to experimenting with a couple different types of flours. You could also try that one-to-one baking mix that's for people who are gluten-free, because that doesn't include wheat in it. So there's stuff that you can find right in the baking aisle, right next to the flour in any grocery store, and that
does it work? Is it close enough to the real thing?
It's close. It's never quite the same, but it's pretty close.
Okay. Yeah. Tom, thanks a lot. Happy holidays. 800-348-2551 is the number. It's Food Friday. Deanna Fox is here. We talk baking today, but not pies. If you have a pie question, she might be able to answer it. But strictly at Christmas, no pies. And this is, frankly, it's a news flash. Let's go to Marsh in Port Charlotte, Florida. Hello, you're on.
Hi. I have a quick question for you. I have a family recipe for peanut butter cookies that are to die for. Mm-hmm. But the recipe calls for shortening. Is there a substitute that I can use and still get the same quality cookie?
Let me ask you first why you don't want to use shortening. What is your hesitation with shortening?
Just because of the health issues with solid shortening.
I love shortening.
So I think that there's I think there's a lot of misconceptions about shortening. So shortening is not margarine, which I think a lot of people think. And shortening, all it is a hydrogenated vegetable oil. So it's actually a lot healthier for you and has a lot less additives than a lot of the alternate baking.
I thought the
butter.
Hydrogenated was a bad thing. I thought that's what I've been hearing.
Yeah, I did too.
Butter is, can you really say what fat is better than the rest? Probably olive oil, we would all say, is a healthier fat because it has a lot of heart-healthy things going for it. But if you're going to compare butter to shortening, to any of like the vegan or butter substitute products, like those are very, very processed.
Yeah.
And I don't love them. You could just substitute butter. That's the easiest thing to do. What's going to happen is that butter, when butter goes into the oven, depending on how cold it is, it releases its steam in a different manner. So really, really cold butter creates like this pop.
Okay.
And so when you have really cold butter and you make a cookie, it ends up being a little bit more domed. It doesn't really spread. It's a little bit higher, stays very round. When it's kind of room temp or melted, it'll spread more and you get really crispy edges. So if you have a really soft peanut butter cookie and you're using shortening, and then you substitute out butter, it's going to be a different consistency. It's going to be a little bit more crisp.
Mm.
It'll be really good.
Yeah.
But something you could also do is you could just take out half of the shortening and use half the butter, and then you're kind of meeting halfway. But I would say pretty much, or, you know, you could try like a coconut oil or something like that if you wanted to. You'd probably end up with a slightly flatter cookie. So
will it taste the same, though?
It'll taste pretty good. If you're substituting coconut oil for shortening, it's going to be closed.
But she's got the perfect peanut butter cookie recipe, and I don't think you mess with that, frankly.
Hard to do, but I think that you would have you just need to brace yourself that it's going to be a little bit different consistency, but the flavor should still be fine.
How's the weather down there?
Great. It's a little muggy today.
Oh, really? Well, I wish I could say I'm sorry, but it's pretty chilly up here. Anyway, have a great holiday. Yeah. Thank you for calling.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Take care.
800-348-2551 is the number. Deanna Fox is our guest. And let's go to Elizabeth in Hillsdale. Hello, Elizabeth.
Hi there.
Hi.
Good afternoon.
Hi.
Hi. So I was just calling with a short comment because I was listening to your speaking about baking bread with gluten-free flours, and I bake a lot of bread with gluten-free flour. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to let that person know about Namaste brand. I don't have any stock in it at all, but it's wonderful. And I use it just as I would wheat flour. It's a gluten-free mix. And the bread and cookies or brownies or whatever I'm making comes out really deliciously. And just like using a wheat flour. It rises. When I bake bread, it rises. It has a good bread texture. It doesn't fall apart. And I use the exact same ingredients that I would use with wheat flour and no egg, no, you know, just yeast and oil and, and water. And that's it.
Awesome.
So
yeah.
Anyway, I just namaste bread. They figured it out. So,
awesome.
And there's other mixes out there. I haven't found one as good as that one. But anyway, I just thought I'd let people know that.
Terrific. Elizabeth, have a great holiday. Thank you for calling. 800-348-2551 is our telephone number. Deanna Fox is our guest. And let's go now to line 3 and Irene in Holyoke. Irene, you're on.
Hello, Ray.
Hello. How are you?
You're doing a great job, man. I always want to tell you that before I do anything else. Last few weeks, amazing.
You're very kind.
Thank you for that.
He's the best, is the Irene?
Oh,
not really, but thank you. So here's the thing. My mother used to make this cookie called a molasses jumbo.
Yes.
And they kind of look like hockey pucks, but most of her stuff, you know, kind of tasted like that. May she rest in peace. But these were amazing cookies. They were heavy.
Mm-hmm.
And she's been gone like 30 years this year. And I've been jonesing for this cookie. I can't find a recipe for it. It has a lot of molasses in it.
Yeah.
But I don't know if you know of this cookie or not.
Yeah, so let's talk about what a jumbo is to start. So a jumbo, which sometimes goes by a jumble, is considered by a lot of food historians to be the first cookie, like the first modern drop cookie.
How do they
know
that?
It actually came with Dutch and German settlers, Palatine settlers, that settled kind of in like Schenectady County out towards the Mohawk Valley.
Right.
So they say that Esperance, New York is actually like the birthplace of the modern.
Oh, come on.
Oh, Ray.
All right. Well, I'll just buy the premise, buy the gag. All right. Just continue. Go ahead.
So if you go and look up a historic jumbo, you could just Google that and you should be able to find something. But you can find a really good molasses cookie. Molasses cookies are like my favorite holiday cookie.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you make them square or do you make them round?
Round.
I've seen them square.
No,
round.
Okay.
Yeah, for sure.
All right.
But the thing with the molasses cookie is, was your mother's, were they soft or were they a little bit crisp?
The thing was, is they had a harder edge on them, but they were really soft.
Right.
And when you put them down, I mean, they were big.
Yeah.
And they were a heavy kind of cookie, kind of... the consistency of the bark cookie that you can get at the grocery stores.
Mm-hmm.
Can't think of the name right now.
I think that
there was no raisin, nothing.
Right.
It was just a cookie, and you'd bake it long enough till there's a little crack in top.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah.
And they were great.
So I think that you would have success. I think that that's going to come from your fat. I think that's going to be probably you want to look for a recipe that's got a combination of shortening and butter, not just all. One or the other. And then also probably something that's got baking soda and baking powder in it. And that's a lot of how you get that consistency. But just look up a molasses cookie recipe and then just make them bigger. When you make them bigger, you know, however big that you need to make them, they're going to get they're going to dome up a little bit in the center. And they're going to get crispy on the edge, but they're going to still be cakey in the middle just because of the way, you know, it's thinner around the edge. So I think that you would have success with that. But you can email me at albanycooks@gmail.com, and I can send you my molasses cookie recipe. So, okay.
Would you do that?
I would. Yeah, for sure.
Oh, thank you so much. I have a grandson now, and I would love for him to have his great-grandmother's cookie.
Perfect.
Very
so
cool.
Thank you so much for that.
Thank you.
Thanks, Irene. Have a great holiday. Our number is 800-348-2551. Hang on, Zach. Before we go to the break, let's go to line four here and talk to our buddy in Troy. Rocco's on. Hello, Rocco.
Hello, Rocco.
Hey, Ray. Hey, Deanna. How are the kids?
They're good. We miss you. We need to come visit you soon.
I know. I love those photos of the Halloween costumes.
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
They're quite.
Should I leave now?
Are you guys still there?
Yeah, no, go ahead.
Ray still there? Is Ray still there?
Hello, yes, I'm here. Yes.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Question. Mm-hmm. Number one, best way to make cookies soft and chewy?
Soft and chewy.
Don't bake them.
What's the key? What's the key ingredient?
Probably a little bit more flour than you think you're going to need.
Ah.
Yeah. To get a really, really pliable dough that you can roll out thick.
Because I don't like scones, and I don't like hard cookies.
You don't like biscotti, then?
I'm not a big biscotti guy.
Yeah.
Now, I was told years ago by an old German baker who had a shop here in Troy, light brown sugar retains more moisture.
That is true.
Did you ever hear that?
Yeah. So, like, when I make chocolate chip cookies, they're half white sugar, half brown sugar, because the brown sugar is chewier. They make it chewy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So, so it is the light brown sugar.
Yeah.
You know,
I haven't tried that yet.
Rocco, I find it interesting that the person who makes perhaps the best pizza dough I've ever had has a question about how to make soft cookies, because you seem to have it down pretty well.
I didn't do this around the holidays, the cookie thing.
Yeah, man.
And second question, when I, growing up, there was a woman in our neighborhood who used to make a wine cookie.
Hmm.
Did you ever hear that?
No, but it sounds good.
Oh, no, they were delicious. They were purplish in color and sweet, and they would, one of the ingredients was red wine.
Mm-hmm.
You've never seen it?
No.
What, were they crispy or were they soft?
No, they were chewy.
Hmm.
Yeah, they weren't like a taral or something like that, but they were delicious.
Yeah.
I thought maybe you saw that.
No, but I'm going to go have to make that.
Rocco grew up in an interesting neighborhood. They put vermouth and eggs together for drinks.
Oh, a lot of wine, a lot of vermouth, a lot of liquor, amaretto.
Yeah, man. Hey, listen, have a great holiday. Are we seeing you on the show soon?
Well, matter of fact, I'll be sending my demands to Jim Lavoulis for the green room.
Ah. Are you on?
Right.
Are you on next week?
Next week, the temperature, and we really need an air purifier in that room.
All right, you know what? And we'll cut out the brown M&Ms for you, too. Rocco, we got to take a break here. We'll talk to you later, man. 800-348-2551. That, of course, Rocco DeFazio, who will be here next week for our Italian Christmas. That means I got to break out the Dean Martin music. A lot of show prep for that. We'll be back. Food Friday, 800-348-2551. Ray Graff here, joined today by Albany Cooking School's Deanna Fox. You can find her online, foxonfood.com. You're also all over the social media, right?
I try to be. It's mostly food pictures and pictures of my dog.
How do we find you there?
It's just at Deanna N. Fox. That's
okay.
It.
Okay. Yep. This one came in from Emily. Where can I find the old-fashioned vegan gingerbread recipe that you like, Deanna?
You know, I think that I published that on the Times Union website at some point. I write a lot for the Times Union. So I think if you went on to timesunion.com and you typed in Deanna Fox, gingerbread, you'd probably find it. But I can put it up this weekend on my website, too, so people have it.
All right. Susan writes in, for bakers in search of healthier alternative to shortening, try Olive Oil Baking by Lisa Sheldon. That's a book, I guess. Mm-hmm. I think we had another one about your gingerbread, the vegan gingerbread. Okay, yeah. So you can find it at the Times Union.
I think so, yes.
Deanna Fox is our guest. 800-348-2551 is the telephone number. 1-800-348-2551. And let's go to Maureen in Albany. Maureen.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Hi.
I have, my grandmother used to make chocolate chip cookies that were like the size of your hand and really thin. And I can never get mine to come out like that.
Okay. Jacques Torres, who's a pretty famous chocolatier in New York City. I think he's got shops all over the world. But he has a chocolate chip cookie recipe that calls for browned butter, which means that you melt butter and you cook it until the milk solids in it start to turn brown. So his end up thin and a little bit crispy on the outside. So that would be a really good one to look up. But usually what that is the temperature of your butter when you put it in the oven. So you want to have a very soft cookie, soft dough. Oh. You don't want it to be refrigerated.
You want it to be refrigerated?
No. You want it to be like room temp or even a little bit warm and gooey so it'll spread.
Okay.
But look up the Jacques Torres recipe.
Jacques Torres.
Jacques, yes.
Okay, thank you.
Hey, thanks, Maureen. 800-348-2551 is the telephone number. I think you could probably bake these in the studio right now. It's a little warm.
It's a little toasty.
A little toasty here. Over to Allison and Beckett. Allison.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
I have a question. Thank you for taking my call. I have a question of pies and soggy crust. How do you prevent a soggy crust?
Bottom crust or top crust?
I'm sorry?
Bottom crust. Is your bottom crust soggy or is your top crust?
Bottom. Yeah, bottom crust.
Okay, there's two things you can do. If it's a cream pie or like something like that, like a chocolate cream or coconut cream.
Mostly like fruit pie, apple pie, blueberry.
Okay, yep. So
that kind of.
Two things. So you want to start your oven up at a really high temperature. You know how people say you need to like sear a steak to keep the juices in?
Right.
You have to do the same thing with your pie. So it helps if you use a glass or a metal pie dish, not a ceramic, because it doesn't heat the same.
Okay.
And you want to work in the bottom third of your oven. So take your bottom rack and put it in like the bottom third of the oven so you're closer to the bottom heat source. But 425 is where you want to start it. And then before you put your fruit filling in, you can put a little schmear, a little bit of butter, like soft butter in the bottom.
Yeah.
Or you can do like 2 tablespoons of just white sugar in the bottom. And when that hits the really high heat, two things are going to happen. It's going to almost caramelize that sugar. Or if you use butter, it's going to create like a fat layer. So that you're not getting juice down into, either will prevent juice from going down into your crust. But then the really high heat is going to cook that crust really fast and kind of sear your pie together. So you do 425 for like 20 minutes and then turn it down to 375 for another maybe 30 minutes. And that should do it.
Great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Happy holidays, Allison. 800-348-2551 is the telephone number. Deanna Fox is our guest today. And we go to Marvin in Dutchess County. Hello, Marvin.
Hey, how you doing, guys? How are you?
Good. Thank you.
Listen, I was originally going to speak about King Arthur flour.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But did you have Marco DeFazio on before?
Yes.
Well, if you're still listening, you owe me $28.76. I picked up 6 spark plugs at Advanced Auto Parts last week in Kingston, and he never paid me.
Well, we'll talk to Marvin next week. I mean, we'll talk to Rocco about this next week, Marvin, but you can always call and ask.
No, he never paid me. I picked him up 6 spark plugs. He never paid me.
Yeah, all right. Hey, man, have a great holiday season. Do you have any question about Flower of the King Arthur? Oh, he's gone. One of our favorite callers, Marvin. We'll take this up with Rocco. And the show comes to a grinding halt. Hello, Walter in Norfolk. You're on.
Hello, thanks. I have a question about thick cake layers.
Mm-hmm.
I tried to make a
red velvet cake with a 3-inch thick layer. Mm-hmm. And when I did, about half an hour into the baking, the center sort of turned into a volcano and collapsed into itself.
Yeah.
And then I even tried using a flour nail as a heat conductor, which helped a little bit, but it didn't fully work.
Yeah. Hmm. So red velvet cake is really tricky because it's a very, very wet batter. There's a lot more liquid in that than there usually is for just like a plain vanilla or chocolate cake. So that's part of the problem. But it also could be your oven temperature. So if you're having problems, I would reduce your heat a little bit, maybe by like 10 to 25 degrees. I think most cakes you're baking between like 350 and 375. So maybe start
at lower. Yeah, this is at 350.
Yeah, so maybe even start a little bit lower and give it more time to slowly come to temperature, because what's happening, it could also be your pie tin. It could be the material that the cake tin.
What's the best material? Pyrex?
No, I mean, you could use a metal, but sometimes coated metal, if it's coated, will create problems.
Don't use the dark ones?
Yeah, don't use a dark coated pan. Use just a stainless steel pan, and that might help. Because sometimes what could be happening is you're creating too much heat around the outside of your cake.
Oh, yeah.
And not getting the heat directed into the middle. So you could try both of those.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, good luck.
Thanks a lot. 800-348-2551. It is Food Friday. We talk about cooking and baking, really, mainly cookies and crusts and things today with Deanna Fox from Albany Cooking School. You teaching this weekend?
I am. I'm teaching dumplings around the world tonight and Monday.
Nice.
I'm teaching holiday cookies tomorrow.
Yeah.
I think it's sold out, though. Gnocchi on Tuesday.
Wow.
Gingerbread houses on Sunday. Pasta on Wednesday.
Dumplings around the world, okay.
So tasty.
I know you have Asian dumplings.
Yeah, we do for that one. So, you know, I have this belief that there's really only 10 recipes in the world, and everything's a derivative from that. So
really?
Every country has a dumpling. Every country has a roasted bird or a pie or a pancake. So dumplings are really just some delicious filling wrapped inside a pastry, essentially.
Right, right.
So in that class, we do Chinese gyoza, which are, you know, pork and cabbage that you fold up. We do pierogi, we do samosa, and empanada.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
Oh, good for you. All right. And that's tonight. People can find out more at your Albany Cooking School website, which is what?
Yeah. So it's albanycooks.com. You can go onto the Facebook page and you have a direct event link that you can find. Tonight is sold out, but there's still lots of seats for Monday.
Okay. Yeah. Very good. Let's go to Joe in Glasgow. Joe.
Hi. How are you? Thanks for taking the call. I'm calling about the wine and cookies. My mother's family, and we would make, and we make the Italian cookies. They're called tortilli, T-U-R-D-I-L-L-I. You can Google it, and it's made with. They're made with. I don't have the exact proportions, but roughly a half a cup of sugar, a cup of wine, red wine, a cup of vegetable oil. Then you add two eggs, a tablespoon of bacon. Bacon powder and a little salt, and you mix it. You mix the dough, and you don't make a really dry dough, but a little tacky. Then you roll them into a rope like a gnocchi, and you shape them like a roll them over this like the back of a fork or a board that we have, and they get ridges in them, and they're very delicious. And the last part of the process is you coat them with honey.
Oh, that sounds delightful.
And you do cook them at 350, and it depends on the size how long it takes you. And it is a Southern Italy cookie.
There you
we
go.
Always make them every Christmas.
I'm going to look that up. Awesome. Thank you so much.
I wanted to tell Rocky I'm not wearing about his spark plugs. I wanted to tell him about
that. Well, hopefully Rocco didn't get so offended by owing the guy money for spark plugs that he's still listening now, Joe. But thank you for the call. 800-348-2551. Drea and Troy, you're on.
Hi. I recently made a pie crust for a pumpkin pie. And it turned out kind of doughy. Usually I use butter, but I used shortening this time. Is the fact that I use shortening what might have accounted for it being kind of doughy?
I think it might be too much liquid, actually. So if you go onto the WAMC website, my pie dough recipe that I use for everything is there, and it's actually half butter, half shortening. So you can find that for that recipe. If you're making like a pumpkin pie, you would make the dough, but then you'd only use half the dough. But if it's becoming like really tacky and doughy, that's probably too much liquid, not really your fat.
Okay, when I was making the dough, I used some whole wheat flour in it, mm-hmm. and I followed all the proportions, and I found that I kept on adding more and more water because it wouldn't hold together.
Right, so that's the problem.
And I ended up kneading it quite a bit.
Right, so that's the problem right there. So pie dough should be more on the dry side than on the wet side, and it should be kind of not really holding together because it's going to sit in the fridge. And as it sits in the fridge, the flour, if you're using whole wheat, you do need a little bit more liquid, but the flour is going to soak up moisture from the water, and it's going to hydrate itself, and also mm-hmm. from your fat that you're using. And then if you're kneading it a lot, you're making a lot of gluten develop in the flour, especially if you're using whole wheat, because it has a higher gluten content, and that's going to make your dough, your pie crust really doughy.
There you go.
So just go into the WAMC.
So if it's not holding together, should I add more fat?
No, not necessarily. You really got to get your proportions right on pie dough. But if you go onto the WAMC website, you'll find my recipe, and that one will work for you every time.
That's not on today's page, though, right? You'll have to search Deanna Fox.
Yeah, you'll have to search on the site.
But it is there someplace.
Okay. Yeah.
Thanks for the call. Happy holidays. 800-348-2551. Catherine in Ballston Spa. Hello, Catherine.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
When you talked about wine cookies, all I could think of was the cookie that I baked when I started baking when actually preteen. So my grandmother had this old church, ladies' collection of recipes. Mm-hmm. So this recipe is probably from the 1940s, and it was just called wine cookies. And what they were, it's butter, sugar, and egg yolks. You put wine, they suggested cherry, flour, a little salt, and a lemon, grated lemon rind. What you did is you rolled it in a ball, dipped that in egg whites, and then you rolled that into chopped nuts. And then you pushed your finger in, and you filled the center with jelly.
Yeah, so it's kind of like a wine cookie meets a jam thumbprint. But now that you say that, Catherine, I think that I have a ton of those books. I love community cookbooks and church cookbooks, and I actually think that I've seen a recipe for a cookie like that. So I'm going to have to look it up. Yeah.
So it was always a favorite.
Yeah.
The wine just gave it a little different flavor. Even when I was 13 and 14 years old, I could tell it tasted good.
What kind of wine was that?
You said sherry.
It probably was a sherry that I used. My mom and dad were not, they were beer drinkers, not wine drinkers. I didn't grow up around here. I grew up in Cincinnati. So, German.
Right.
But anyway, they were a beautiful little cookie.
That sounds great.
I used to make them every year. I haven't made them in a long time. Well, anyway, that's one more to add.
Thanks a lot. Happy holidays to you. All right, Deanna Fox, you're teaching at the cooking school today and tomorrow and Monday.
And Sunday and Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday.
That's a lot of days in a row.
Oh, yeah.
You get time to do your Christmas shopping?
Pretty much done. I got a few more things to get.
Done? We haven't even started yet.
My kids are really easy. They ask for nothing.
Really?
So, yeah. They wanted a basketball this year. That's what they wanted.
Where did I go wrong? Well, thank you for being here. Support comes from Rolling Rock Farm Salt and Seasonings, Sheffield, Massachusetts. Handcrafted in small batches, infused sea salts, peppers, and spices, featuring specialty and custom blend salt box gift sets for holiday gifting. Mail order at rollingrocksalt.com. Berkshire Brochure Display, serving Western New England and Central Hudson Valley with targeted distribution of brochures and publications for cultural attractions, chambers, tourism bureaus, and more. BerkshireBrochures.com. Spirit House, Amherst, Massachusetts, a family-owned wine and spirits retailer for over 40 years, providing products from classic to new labels, SpiritHAUS.com. At Cafe Capriccio, Albany, New York, the Rua family offering authentic Italian cooking and hospitality to downtown Albany and organizing tours to Italy for over 37 years, cafecapriccio.com. Once again, thanks to Deanna Fox for being here today. Thank you for listening. And once again, we have all the recipes, well, not all the recipes, but a good number of them that we discussed today on our website, wamc.org. And you look up Vox Pop, you'll find us there, or Food Friday is a good search. Thanks again for listening. Thanks to our engineer, Zach Malloy. Amber Sickles took the calls. Our producer is Jimmy Lavolis. I'm Ray Graff. Have a lovely weekend. We'll see you Monday at 2:00.